So let's hear God's word, Joshua 1, verses 10 to 18. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess.' And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, 'Remember the word which Moses the servant commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise.' So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.'" And there again, God's holy, inspired, inerrant word. May he bless it to us as we consider his teaching this evening. I often refer to this verse. I have a tie that reflects this verse, and I think it's up there as one of the more important verses that's both easy to memorize but also very important to our Christian life. And that is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. If you haven't memorized it, I encourage you to, as we heard this morning. Here's a couple verses to hide in your heart that you might not sin against the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." It's a great verse in that respect, reminding us about the challenges of our heart, not to trust in our heart, not to trust in our inward desires, but to use our heart to trust in the Lord and to lean upon him for understanding, so that as we acknowledge him in all our ways, we will see him directing our paths for his glory. It's a very vital verse, I think, easy to memorize. But like all things easy to do on one hand, very hard to remember and recall and to live by on the other. Because the desires of our hearts often get in our ways. We can be so firm in a desire of our heart that we think it's God's will, only to find out towards the end of whatever circumstance we're headed in that we were trying to fulfill our own desires and make our desires God's will. That happens often in the Christian life. And it happens because we don't necessarily lean upon God for understanding. Listen, lean not upon your own understanding. We think when we make plans, we've got it all figured out and that the end will be for what we're shooting for. And how many times the end is always different. It's a verse that reminds us about life's challenges. Think about this when you're looking for work. You really want a job and you have your heart set on something. And this position becomes available, but it means that you won't be able to attend church on the Lord's Day. And you believe this is the Lord's will for you to take this job. And you find yourself being absent from worship. or you want a relationship. And there's this incredibly nice person who crosses your path, whom you really like, but this person isn't a Christian. And you can justify that relationship with such thoughts of, well, I'm going to win them to Christ. I'm not going to forsake the faith. It's when we start living out life in trials and in circumstances that those verses become very hard to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. Not trust in your heart with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. It's hard not to have our own understanding to take over. It is hard to trust and obey. Trust and obey. It is more difficult than we imagine. We have that hymn in our hymn book, Trust and Obey. We've not sung it here. I have to confess, both with the tune but with the hymn itself, it was sung so much in a former church of ours that I just grew weary of it. And personally, I didn't care for the tune. But its words speak volumes. And it speaks about learning to trust and obey and learning to be happy in the Lord because we trust and obey Him. And sometimes we can be like that child that when it comes to trusting and obeying mom and dad, we do it with all reluctance and miserable attitude. There's no joy in it. And we can be that way even with God. But listen to the opening verse of this hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And it highlights very much what's going on in this portion of Joshua chapter 1 as we're being introduced to Israel under the leadership of Joshua, going into the land of promise and beginning those battles with the various nations that exist in the land of promise to establish the kingdom of God in the nation of Israel upon the earth. They are called once again to trust and obey. And what they are relying on, and what that verse of that hymn that I just read speaks about, of what is our reliance when it comes to trusting and obeying, is trusting God's Word. Obeying His will. God has a will for us that is revealed to us in Scripture. God's Word is there for that purpose of being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Trusting and obeying God is dealing with our confidence in His Word and His will that has been revealed to us that we may walk in faith in Him. We may trust Him and obey Him even when the way gets difficult. And you see this coming to Israel again, God's Word being reiterated. What we've already heard in the first 9 verses, a lot of it gets repeated here again and again. Why? Because it's like us when we're parenting our children. How many times we will say, and some of you who are waiting to have children, you'll find this out too, that we will have to say the same thing to our children, not once, not twice, not 3 times, many times we will say. And you know what is often the hardest part as a parent when our children falter in obeying the things that we tell them from our experience? The hardest part of a parent is not saying, "I told you so." That's the hardest thing. Because I can guarantee you, I never appreciated hearing those words. It's a real downer when you struggle and you realize that your parents were right. There's a lot of similarities to that in the Christian life. God's Word repeats itself many times to us. Because we have a difficulty embracing what he has said and believing and trusting that he knows what is right, what is good for us, what the will is for us to walk in. And here, Israel, in 3 days, they're going to cross the Jordan River. They're going to go into the land. Finally, they're going into the land. 40 years they have wandered all around it. Now they get to go into it in 3 days. And God is saying to Joshua, get ready. Get ready. That's the thing about our faith. We understand that we walk by faith, don't we? Or at least I hope we understand. We are living a life of faith in Jesus. We're going to hear it again and again throughout this letter. How do Christians live? How do the just live? The just live by faith. That's repeated from the Old Testament in Habakkuk 2. It's repeated 3 different times in the New Testament. The just, those who are justified in Jesus Christ, now live their life by faith. And it's in Hebrews that we read one of those instances where God reflects upon Israel and Moses and how Moses struggled to lead a faithless people. And there it's talking about Israel remembering those times when you had endured great struggles and sufferings. How you were made a spectacle by reproaches and tribulations. And then he has to go on to encourage them. What he's saying there is the Christian life, the Christian walk is difficult in this world. You're not of this world. You belong to the kingdom of God. Your citizenship is in heaven. And the life that you live here is a life that you must learn to live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave his life for you. And if you think that's going to be easy, you're living a delusion. But it's remembering that all of those struggles, all of those sufferings, all of those reproaches, all of those tribulations are God's way of teaching us to learn to live by faith in him who has loved us. And so in Hebrews 10, he's rehearsing that. And then he gets down to verse 38. Remember those words. The just shall live by faith. And if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Saying, you know what we're learning to do as God's people is we're learning to endure the struggle and sufferings of this life with a joy in the Lord because we know what God has promised us in Christ Jesus. And what is before us is to learn that lesson, to trust and to obey. We have his word and his revealed will to us to understand how God will lead us. So that as we walk by faith, we're not looking at the various things that we can see and making an estimation of them. We're not even trusting in this way, if I can put it this way. We're not even looking at and saying, oh, because this happened and this happened and this happened, then this means that this will happen. We don't determine the future by looking at our providence that has already been experienced. We cannot know that future. But we can walk in the providence of what God has unfolded in our lives with a confidence, a trust in God, and continuing to obey his word and will. And I think of that when it comes to this interchange between Joshua and Israel, and especially between Joshua and the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. He is saying to them, right now, beginning now, trust and obey. And the challenge I set before you, dear Christians, is are you ready to trust and obey? And one of the first things we see here is the preparation that they're called to make in verses 10 to 11. Where Joshua commands the officers and says to them, look, we're going to possess the land which the Lord our God is giving us to possess. God is giving us this land. Do you believe it? Well, get yourself ready. Prepare provisions for yourself. Because in 3 days we're going to cross over. Now we're going to get to chapter 2 and we're going to read that they send spies in the land. Just note that these first few chapters of Joshua are not chronological. There's summary that's given in chapter 1 with the background of what chapter 2 has already happened. But they're ready. 3 days they're going into the land. Now you might think, what's so significant about preparing provisions for yourself? Who has provided for them for the last 40 years? What happens once they step foot into the land of Canaan? The last 40 years, manna and quail were provided every day for this vast number of people. They weren't farming. They weren't growing crops. They were relying solely on the hand of God to provide their bread and meat each day. Now they had flocks and herds, but even there, they relied upon the Lord their God to provide water and protection. 40 years. And as soon as they step into the land of promise, that daily provision of manna and quail end. And here he's telling them, prepare provisions for yourself. God's way, really, in some ways, of saying, look, the providence that has met you thus far is going to change. It's going to be different for you now. And you have to depend in a new way on the Lord. It's still depending on the Lord, but you're going to do it in a different manner. As God was giving them a land that was flowing with milk and honey, they now had to begin to prepare their food and get themselves ready to possess that land flowing with milk and honey. And even though God was leading them into warfare against the many nations, they still had a preparation to do. And I think that's, again, something important to living by faith, to walking by faith, to this whole matter of trusting and obeying God each day. The faith that Israel had to act upon was a faith that was prudent. It was a faith that was listening to what God was commanding them to do and saying, okay, we need to do this. It wasn't this kind of faith that just sat back and said to God, God, do it, or complaining about what now needs to be done. Faith is something that acts prudently. Even though we are walking by faith and not by sight, we still do not cast off preparation and prudence in our lives. I don't know how many of you experience this, but I have experienced it often in conversations with people. I've shared this with you before. But it's amazing how many people, when you start talking to them about the Christian faith and about church and all of that, they're very quick to tell you, I'm a spiritual person. I always say, what does that mean? Well, I know what they mean by it. It doesn't mean that they're walking by faith in Christ. It doesn't mean that they have a relationship with God. But it does mean that they have a spiritual understanding of life. But that kind of spirituality has replaced, for so many, the reality and necessity of faith. Spirituality, being a spiritual person, is something that is void of truth. It's void of understanding God's will. And it's void of that dependence upon the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It's another form of self-righteous dependence. But what often gets me is that I find that kind of worldly spirituality reflected in Christians when it comes to living by faith. when it comes to walking by faith. And it usually sounds like this. We have a theological term for it, quietism. Just let go and let God, and whatever happens, receive it. Now, there's a mode of truth there that embraces that understanding that God's will is being unfolded in our life. But the problem with that kind of quietism and that kind of sentimentality is that it has a spirituality that is not looking to the reality upon which our faith is built. Do we think that faith is something that we just jump and leap into? Or do you see your faith as something that is built upon truth, the Word of God, and the knowledge and wisdom of God? If our faith isn't built on that, then our faith is nothing more than mere spirituality. We do not live a que sera, sera, whatever will be, sort of lifestyle. And you know, again, I hear many Christians say it with this saying, it is what it is. What does that mean? I think at least bring a better picture into it. It is what God has ordained. We're not fatalists. We don't believe in something impersonal that is happening and guiding and leading our life. It's not fate. We are looking and understanding God is ruling our life. Christ is Lord of our life. We are walking by faith in a God who has said, I have loved you this much. Now heed my word, obey it, and I will direct your steps. That's true Christian spirituality. It's very different than that worldly spirituality. We have within our souls the Spirit of God who ministers to us through God's Word and who speaks to us the wisdom of truth that God has already communicated. Do you see what they keep saying here? As Joshua commands the people, as he says, prepare yourselves, what does he tell them to look to? Look to the promise of God who has said that you will possess this land. And you know why you're going to possess this land. It's because I, the Lord your God, am giving it to you. Do you trust me? Obey me. And go and take it. Prepare yourself for that conquering of these nations. For that possession of this land. And it reminds us something very important about faith. It acts prudently. Faith works by doing. Faith does not work by simply sitting back and saying, okay, God, do your thing. Faith works in many ways. Faith works by praying. Faith works by seeking. Faith works by asking. But as we hear from James, faith is also reliant upon doing the Word of God. We can hear God's Word. We can learn so much from God and yet still not do the will of God. Faith, preeminently, is a faith that believes God and that when God speaks, it takes up that work of doing. James 2:21, we read James giving us two examples. One of them we're going to read it next week in relation to Rahab, but I'll just quietly mention it. You know, Rahab was justified by the work of faith. And it wasn't that her works saved her. We understand that. Our works don't contribute to our salvation, but our works show the one in whom we believe has saved us. But he also uses the illustration of Abraham. When God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 22 to offer up his son Isaac on the altar. And Abraham went forward. God just came to him and said that. Now, I don't think God's going to ever say that to any of us, but he may say to you as parents that your child go into the mission field. I put that calling upon their life. Let them go. How hard is that? And what was it that moved Abraham to trust God and to obey Him? Oh, well, we're told. He believed that God, the giver of life, held the power of life and would raise Isaac from the dead. His faith was prepared by God's word to do what God's will said. My friends, that's something about our life and walk of faith. Learning to prepare yourself to walk by faith. Think about it as you ready to go into the world, whether it be into your workplace tomorrow, or whether it be to school, and whether it be to a neighborhood labor or anything. Think about your life in this coming week, what you have prepared yourself to do. And how much of that work and preparation for what is before you in this week has been couched in prayer, has been couched in the Word of God, even that those two verses that I began this message with, saying, God, I'm going to that class tomorrow, and they are going to teach things that are contrary to your glory and your being. Guard my heart. Help me to lean upon, you for understanding. Don't let my heart be captivated. Do you prepare your heart to stand strong in the Lord, putting on the armor of God? Because the battles are before us. And many of us making our plans believe that God is just simply going to bless our plans as we have established them. My friends, much can change, even in a day. Are you prepared to receive and walk by faith in God's will? Prepare yourself. Begin your day. Don't end your day with prayer. Begin your day with prayer. Begin your day reading a verse of promise. That you have something taking you into that day where you know not what will be at the end of this day. But you are walking by faith in the promise of God, trusting and obeying Him. And remember, that's the second thing we see in verses 12 to 15. Remember. Remember your promises. Remember your vows. Remember that commitment you have made to God to live for His glory, to seek His will in all things. Joshua comes to these 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh, who back in Numbers 32, back in the time of Moses, when they saw the land after they conquered the kings of Sion and Og, their land was there, and they saw this was a pleasing land that was ideal for their grazing herds. And they said, can we have this land? If you read it, you will see that Moses originally thought it was an attempt by these 2.5 tribes to not get involved in, not participate in the battles for the land of promise. But they said, no, we think that this is part of God's promise, and we want to know if it is. Can we have this land? And it turns out that God was willing to honor. But they made a pledge. These tribes had to make that commitment that even though they had already received their land of rest, that they were going to help their brothers to take the land that was being given to them by God, and that they were even going to step up and lead the charge in taking that land. And even though they had already received God's promise, they were still obligated to help the other tribes receive their rest. And for them, it was a great challenge to their faith. When you read this, they had to leave. They had to go in faith. They had to trust God to keep their households and their property safe while the men went off to fight in Canaan. They had to trust God that they themselves would return to their own rest. Probably some of them died fighting in those battles. There were probably some widows and orphans left behind. It wasn't going to be easy. We don't know. Maybe some of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh died because of Achan's sin. It's a hard thing, isn't it, that you're going to do this. And the obligations and the vows that we make in the name of the Lord. As long as they're not foolish and stupid vows, like Jephthah, we're called to honor them. Remember what you have promised. You think, well, that's easy to do. Oh, yes. Yes. Until something changes. Until what you have promised is now going to cost you more than you realized in the beginning. Until you look at what you believe God has blessed you with, and then you realize, oh, this isn't what I thought it would be. It's not a blessing anymore. You know how quickly we change on these things? Because our faith gets interrupted by the struggles, challenges, and hardships of life. And we start determining God's will by whether or not something is good and easy or difficult and hard. Sometimes that may be the case. But my friends, that's a very poor way to judge God's will. Let's say you make the vow. You've got two vehicles. And you sell. You're selling one vehicle. And you say, I'm selling this vehicle. And I'm going to give the proceeds of this vehicle to the Lord. And just as you sell that vehicle, your vehicle that remains breaks down and is going to cost you to fix it. And you look and you think, well, I guess the Lord has provided the sale of that other vehicle just in time for this repair to be done. And you forget your vow because you think that the Lord has blessed you in a different way. Well, that actually has happened. And you see the challenge that's being presented to Reuben, to Gad, to half of Manasseh. You vowed. But look. Look at what they're relying upon. Look at how they are going in faith. They look at this and they say, we will. Why? Because they know the promise of God. And they know the promise of God isn't contingent on their well-being, but contingent on what God will do in the course of fulfilling that promise. And what helped them in fulfilling their vow, what helped them to go in faith, is that they remembered that they belonged to a greater community than themselves alone. These 2.5 tribes, they showed a remarkable unity and commitment to the body, even though it would cost them. And that's part of trusting and obeying. You know, I think often how that high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17 reflects so much on our life of faith, walking in the Lord. As you know, in the latter section of that prayer, Jesus prayed for the Father to make us one in Him. And we sit back and we sometimes think, well, that's just, yes, there's a unity of the church that is to be enjoyed and rejoicing in. And Jesus praying for that is continuing to pray for that. But when you read other parts of Scripture, you see that unity gets interrupted when we lose our focus on what it is to belong to that body. Perhaps the most particular passage that reflects on that is in Ephesians chapter 4. When we're called to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, by exercising a long suffering, by exercising a low view of ourselves, a high view of others, by exercising a forbearance and a forgiveness to one another, so that in the strength of the Spirit we are pursuing that unity and the bond of peace. Our union to Christ has brought us into a union with one another, and that union that we have together as the body of Christ is a union in the love of our God. And there too, we need to remember our vows that we make. We need to remember the communion that we share with the saints. We need to remember our responsibility to help and to uphold one another in our life of faith, in trusting and obeying. It's one of the things when we receive new members, we go through that process of presenting them before you and rehearsing the vows that they have made, so that you as members can remember what you have vowed. And it boils down especially to that communion and belonging to this church where we all vow in humility and submission to the leadership of the church to pursue the peace, purity, and prosperity of this congregation. Because our eyes are set upon our Savior. And we remember that He is the one who has bonded us together. Those bonds of love that we share. My friend, you see that here with Gad, with Reuben and Manasseh. They're challenged to remember it. And it brings us last to that resolve that they make to trust and obey. In verses 16 to 18, they answer Joshua. And they make their pledge to go, their commitment to Joshua's leadership. They even make a vow to punish any of their own who would not obey. It's a strong resolve that they make. Yes, we will seek the peace and the purity and prosperity of our brothers in the Lord as they go to possess the land that God is giving to them. But do you notice what their resolve is based upon? They make this pledge to trust and obey and go, not contingent upon Joshua himself, but contingent upon the abiding presence of the Lord. Verse 17, only the Lord your God be with you. Unlike the previous generation whose faith failed, who would not walk in trust and obedience to God, even though they experienced the presence of God with them for 40 years of desert wandering. Right? Can you imagine? Really, can you imagine waking up every morning and seeing that manna on the ground? And your thoughts not going to God. God has provided again. The Lord is with us. You'd think that would be the first thing going through their heads. And yet even that they grumbled and complained about. They could not trust and obey. Unlike that generation. This is a generation whose faith was in the Lord. And the very presence of the Lord is what motivated their obedience. Joshua would fail them in some measure. Achan would certainly fail them. And I think of this even when it comes to the church. Even when it comes to leadership in the church. You know, if we proceed in this coming year to elect elders, you know one thing you need to be reminded, congregation, is that these elders are imperfect men who will sometimes do things wrong. But is the Lord your God with them? Is the Lord your God with this congregation? That's where your resolve rests. That's hard to do, especially when you see the faults and failings of men. But again, what you see them doing in verse 17 and even in verse 18, when they talk about the strength and courage that they're exhorting Joshua to, And the presence of God being with them. Do you notice what they're doing here? As they're using the very words that God used back in the earlier parts of this chapter to say, we believe God's word. We believe what God has said He will do for us. And if God, who has shown His presence and His power amongst us these past 40 years, who has sustained us, who has said that He would lead us into this land, if He's with you, hey, we're going. We're going. It's very interesting to see how they use God's own word to strengthen their faith. Because if Emmanuel is true, why should we not obey? If God is with us, and oh, praise God, Jesus has sealed that truth, hasn't He? Then yes, we shall obey. And they use God's own word to encourage Joshua. Submission and prayer of encouragement. Because they could see God was with them. We walk by faith. We walk by faith in the One who has loved us and given Himself for us. We walk by faith in the wisdom of God's holy word that has been given to us to lead and guide us. We walk by faith knowing the will God has for us. That will to sanctify us. That will to conform us to Christ. That will to be with us and to use all circumstances in our life for our good. We know these things. The question comes, do we trust God? Or do we lean upon our own understanding? My friends, prepare yourself. Remember your vows and resolve upon the presence and word of God to trust and obey.